Hey, when are you in D.C. next?
Oh, when do you need me?
Now, I'm just saying, it would be nice to you come over, you know, meet the family, throw on some steaks, sit up back, tell lies.
Sure, I'd like that. Just say when.
See you, bud.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Film Sack, or to it for the first time. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 476. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian. This is no longer Sparta Dunaway.
Get off the stairs. This is Sparta. Oh, hi. Best Buy customer service. This is Brian. How may I help you? Yes, sir. We do sell drones. Are they military grade? I don't know what that means, sir. Oh, are they armored and capable of dropping tiny little drone baby bombs that explode? No, no. I mean, I guess you could modify them. Maybe there's some plans on the internet. Maybe find some instructions on the dark web. But really, who would do that? I mean, you would. Well, I'm not really comfortable with what's that now? Yeah, we have three in stock, including the display model. Well, how many do you need? A swarm. I don't know how many constitutes a swarm, sir. Listen, I don't know what you are planning on doing with these, sir, but I think you better... All right, yeah, okay, well, pardon me for saying so, sir, and not that I condone such behavior, but wouldn't it be easier to just kidnap your Secret Service agent friend and use a sniper to take out the president and then release your friend? Oh, you're lions. Well, in that case, Mufasa, hold on while I prepare your order. Yes, rawr! God, I hate my job.
Wow, that's fantastic. I'm never going to Best Buy again. Also with us, Randy, I think Nick Nolte's beard might be alive. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Randy.
I see that you found me after all these years. You found my paradise I've made with my own two hands out here. Please don't touch that paper next to the typewriter. We've gone to great lengths to save that for later, and we're never going to tell you what it was or even mention it before we end. Now, I know that I look old. Ancient! You look about 50 years old, and I look like I brought you into this world when I was 85. And it's true. That makes me 135 years old. That means I have a lot of places out here where I can go pee. I have about 17 dozen makeshift toilets. You can just use that one right there. No, that right there, that one. With 17 dozen toilets, there's always one close by. How do you flush it? You pull that chain. The chain right there under the leaves, dummy.
Yeah, so that it blows up, I guess.
Explosive. By the way, Nick Nolte has a 12-year-old, right? Isn't that right?
Is that true? Really?
That's the kind of trivia this movie's providing. I'm telling you.
Right.
This is the greatest trivia movie we've had in a long time.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Hold on. Let's see. Nick Nolte's
kids. His girlfriend had to lay on her back for about 2 weeks for the sperm to finally make it to the egg.
That's terrible. Shaking all the way. Shut up, Brian. You're terrible.
He had a modeling career before all of this. We'll get to that in a minute.
Would you please just get some water in your mouth, Nick Nolte? Yeah, whatever. Right?
Yeah,
you're horrible. You're terrible people.
Take a sip. All right, with us finally, Brian. He's like 100 drones in one man Ibit.
I totally am.
Yep.
All right, so guys, would it surprise you to know that there are more adventures coming from the Fallen series? Mm. According to Wikipedia, this is true. There are at least two movies and a spinoff in the works.
What?
And thanks to some careful sleuthing by yours truly, I've uncovered the details about these upcoming projects. First up, slated for 2022, Mike Banning escorts the president to Utah, but finds himself embroiled in a terrorist plot to blow up the national park system. Co-stars Stephen Tobolowsky as the leader of a terrorist organization. It'll be called Arches Have Fallen. Catch a matinee before the buffet at Perkins. Second on the schedule for a 2025 box office debut is Mike Banning and the president trying to prevent a Wall Street intercabinet double-cross by the Secretary of the Treasury, played by an aging Terry Bradshaw. Buckle your seatbelts and drive to the nearest Denny's for the 4 o'clock buffet and see the ride of the summer, Interest Has Fallen. Finally, coming to CBS TV in the fall of 2026, Mike Banning is sent on a super secret mission to go undercover in a nursing home to thwart an assassination plot. The joke's on him, as it's an even more super secret plot to put Mike Banning into a nursing home by the president, played by an aging Kirstie Alley. Set your DVRs, since this airs pretty late at 9 p.m. Central, for Angel Has Fallen and He Can't Get Up.
I was wondering where that last one was going to go. I couldn't predict it.
I was too. I was like, well, this is, I'm doing the math. I don't see it. Here it comes.
Once again, Ibbot
nailed it.
Deftly using the law of threes here. It's good.
That was absolutely law of threes.
Yep. Yes. Everyone should follow the law of threes. All right. We watched a, speaking of three, we watched the third movie in a series of films called Angel Has Fallen. We've seen Olympus Has Fallen, which is Die Hard in the White House right. with Gerard
London
Butler.
London Has Fallen.
We didn't see London, though.
We didn't see. I thought we had seen that one.
I've never seen London Has Fallen.
Yeah.
I've seen the entire series multiple times. Congratulations.
There was almost going to be one in my list, by the way, of taking place in Russia called Stalin Has Fallen.
We did see MI5, and that can just, we can just kind of like make that our.
Did we see MI5?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Had the dude from Game of Thrones in it.
I don't doubt that you have knowledge of the movie. I'm saying, did we do it here on the film?
Oh, we totally did. Yeah, there's. I wouldn't have seen that any other way, I don't think. But yeah, and it shows up in the search. But yeah, Angel Has Fallen, the third of the films, and I've seen all three. I can tell you that I thought I was in for the worst. I thought this was supposed to be terrible. I really liked Angel Has Fallen. In fact, I'm going to go 3-1-2 in the order. That I like these movies. I like it better than the first one. I think this is just a better made movie, and it's like half the budget of the first movie.
I hate to go. No, Scott, what you like is Nick Nolte. You don't like this movie.
I like Nick Nolte a lot, and old Nick Nolte is my jam for sure. I think he's great at this. I love this stage of his career. However, and I expected to like that, but
let me ask you, if you remove the Nick Nolte, would it still be 3-1-2?
Oh yeah, totally. And the reason the Nick Nolte thing doesn't make that big of an impact to me, this is rest his soul, Wilford Brimley from Hard Target. Brief little guy that lives in the woods sort of moment. And you know, it's cheesy how it ends in the end and how he lives with him now and he's going to do his best to stick around. And, you know, all that stuff's a cheese factory. But
yeah, no way his wife is letting him live there that gracefully. Like,
oh yeah,
well, could you, maybe Mike and I can talk about it a little bit before we say anything.
Yeah,
Piper Perabo is a great cool girlfriend, but not that cool.
Also, she replaced the last wife, by the way. There was two other there's another lady playing the wife in the first two, and suddenly she's just the wife, so that's fun. I mean, I didn't notice. Wait, to be honest, it took me, I had to look it up and go, oh yeah, she wasn't in the first two, so whoever they had before was very Piper Perabo-ish. You know?
Yes. And the baby who makes an appearance in this film is the best actor in the film.
It was amazing. That was an amazing performance.
Yeah, sure. Especially the moment that the guys are coming in through the back door.
Yes.
And the baby screams and reaches for the handler who is the parent who is slightly off screen.
Yep.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. Yelling mommy
with
and reaching.
Horrified expression on its face.
Yeah.
That immediately wrote down, this kid is going to need some serious therapy.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you, who was actually my favorite performance in this movie, and I can't get over how far down the cast list you have to go to find Jada Pinkett Smith.
Jada is amazing.
She just, like, from the instant she appears, I'm like, I am being forced to feel things. I'm being forced to feel that she might be a bad guy, that she is definitely going to drive the plot into places I would prefer it not go. Like, I was just blown away.
I would totally watch a spinoff series on HBO where they go down that character, because I thought she was amazing.
Hello.
She was good, but you know what? I'm embarrassed to admit this.
You didn't know that was her?
I was gonna say? Didn't know that was her until you just said
what?
It.
What?
Just till you said it just now.
Yeah.
I think it was the hair. Like, I'm used to seeing her all pulled back and a different looking hair, and it just, she did not, I did not go, oh, Jada Pinkett Smith, check out the FBI agent. Like, and she was great.
That's interesting. That's
she was great, and she was, and you know, here was an unpredictable Hollywood death, an unpredictable character death. She didn't die, like, being heroic or saving somebody or anything like that. She just died because Deuticus was just, you know, wanted to off a couple of FBI agents.
I know. Talk about messing with your heartstrings. It was just like, holy crap, because you've kind of like, they built the character up so that you're kind of, you know, you're like, oh, she's too ambitious. I don't like her, but I kind of do. I don't like her, but I respect her. Mm-hmm. And then when she loses all of her power and she's just.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't have gone into their backyard over there. They assumed too much about what those guys were doing. And I'm telling you this, anybody in their right mind, in the movie fictionally or outside in the real world, if you hear Danny Houston's involved with your project, you know he's going to be the bad guy every time. Like, the whole time he's being all friendly with him in the beginning, I went, no, he's the bad guy. He's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy. Yeah. We've been so conditioned to expect Danny Houston to be the bad guy that it's not even a surprise anymore when it happens.
Yeah.
And he is such a great bad guy.
He's great.
I was actually disappointed when he was cast as Colonel Stryker in the Sony Marvel universe, because I felt like that was telling me too much that he was going to end up not being reliable.
Spoiler.
That's all right. What is spoiler? Exactly that it was actually say. Spoiler. Is it?
No, that's
it
what you would Fox. Say as soon as he's cast. You're spoiler.
You've just left me with no choice but to know that character is going to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
But it's like when you watch a trailer with Sean Bean, it's like, spoiler. Yeah, I don't need to know the character is going to die.
Yeah.
Jeez.
The spoiler is though, that Fox made the X-Men movies, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. I agree with you. Like he was great in there, but if you, my striker will always be, what's his name?
Brian Cox.
Brian Cox, dude.
Just without a doubt.
Fiery little dude. He's great in that. By the way, he has the coronavirus right now, but has no symptoms. So good luck to that dude.
Interesting.
Anyway, that's somewhat beside the point. I'm telling you though, Angel Has Fallen is 100% a surprise for me. I came out of that going, oh man, those stunts were great. Those explosions were great. The tension was good. The cheese was there. It reminded me of all the things I loved about late 80s through mid 90s action films. Everything from Die Hard to The Rock to, you know, whatever.
You get for a Rick Roman Waugh. you say his last name. I can't nail it.
It is Waugh. And
Stuntman.
It's amazing. Like, this is a guy who's been like cellar dwelling, doing, writing movies you've never seen, action movies for years. Mm-hmm. And just like, directed this very well. Mm-hmm. Like, there were more than just getting a great performance out of a baby. Like, this guy gets some amazing little performances and moments. Like, there's a moment where our two principals, our good guy and our bad guy, don't know yet what's going to happen, and they're in the backyard of the house and they're just talking. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is good. This is a good scene. I like this.
Mm-hmm. I kind of made me want to see this. He did a whole nother Gerard Butler thing in the same year. So in 2019, he released a movie called Greenland. Or I guess it's coming out this year now. It was made in 2019. Releases on September. But anyway, Gerard Butler, Mirena Bakarin. Brian, ooh, you know, you like that.
I like her a lot.
Yeah. Baklava.
It's called Greenland. And it's the description is, a family struggles for survival in the face of a cataclysmic natural disaster. I'm down. And then the other one he's working on is Kandahar, which is some kind of war thing. I think I'm into what this guy's selling. I kind of like his style.
It's I mean, I think the reason, and it's certainly the reason I liked it, I didn't like it as much as you did, but I did like it, was because it was the movie equivalent of comfort food. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really shown in this thing that is groundbreaking or different, other than Jada Pinkett Smith's death, which I did not see coming. But everything else is all right. He doesn't know his buddy is a bad guy, and he's, you know, he's on the run because he's been framed for a murder he didn't do, or framed for an attempted murder he didn't do.
You saw the Tim Blake Nelson turn coming, right?
Right from the beginning. It's like they said, hey, Tim Blake Nelson, could you play this as Like, could you make your eyes shifty back and forth like right the first time we see you?
Yeah, you knew right away.
Drill home that you're the bad guy.
Yeah. Right. This is where I want to compliment the directing. When they march Tim Blake Nelson into that hospital as the vice president who has to reluctantly take power, I was just like, wow, they're playing this guy meek. Mm-hmm. Like, he's so meek, I'm having a hard time believing what I know to be true about him.
Yeah, we know he's going to be bad, but they're doing a good job of, like, you know, messing with you. But you always knew it. Like, you always knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And by the way, I got a thing to say about Tim Blake Nelson.
Sure.
I don't understand.
Better be good.
What his
Right, better be good, because we all love him. Go ahead.
We all love him. Oh, yeah, we all love him. But what he's got a genetic disorder that makes him never age. Oh. He doesn't age.
Oh.
Have you noticed that? If you look at his face here, know he's got, you know, hair color and that, but if you look at his face here and look at him in, like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou from 25 years ago.
Yeah.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't change. I don't understand what he's doing, how he does this, but I love that dude.
It is amazing. And one thing that I noticed about him, since we're talking about Jada Smith and we're talking about the height difference of actors in this film, I don't think I've ever noticed another film. How much,
like, how short Tim Blake Nelson is,
short some characters are compared to others. It's like we usually go out of our way to kind of make, you know, unless it's for, you know, humorous effect, we try to go out of our way to make all the actors seem fairly the same height. But man, there's scenes in this film where I'm like, wow, the height difference between these people is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Totally. They must have done made a separate podium for Tim Blake Nelson to stand behind when he was addressing the press.
Yeah. It's
like picking Leonard Hofstadter from Big Bang Theory as your running mate.
But Jada Pinkett Smith, she is like, just, she is so small. I'm like, I've seen her with, you know, Will Smith in a million pictures. And I'm like, she doesn't seem, either I'm underestimating how tall Will Smith is, or the actor that she was playing along with, Joseph Milson, I believe his name is, he's a giant. I don't know.
That was kind of true though. When you look, Will Smith seems like a really tall dude. He's not really that tall. He's like average height.
Yeah. Average height.
Yeah. Like most actors who look tall in films, you find out later that I'm still like a foot taller than them or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like Tom Cruise is up to my knees. He's,
nonetheless, Gerard Butler clocks in at 6'2", and
he doesn't look it.
No, they don't make him look it.
I mean, this film, like, just cutting to the chase, this film is ultimately a showdown action movie where there are these two characters that are destined to go into a hand to hand combat situation at the very end.
Yeah,
right.
And I was thinking the whole movie, I don't know that I would have started out by telling me, the viewer, that Gerard Butler and Danny Houston are too old for this shit. Because I'm like, I'm not looking forward to an old man fight in this case.
No.
Like, if you had portrayed them a little differently, like they do in The Expendables, I'm like, I can't wait to see an old man fight.
Yeah.
But in this one, I'm like, I don't know. You know what? Pretty awesome. They came out looking pretty good in that final fight. And so I was like, okay, all right, yeah, these guys are well directed, well trained. They're right for this. I could see a fourth Angel movie.
And you could also see this movie. You can feel that this was directed by a seasoned Hollywood stunt person, because that's everything felt like good stunt work. Like when he got the final stab in the hand to hand fight, it's like this just quick little shunk right into his what's that artery called? That's under your pit. Whatever that is. Not your carotid.
It's called "Don't Stab Me."
But what's called?
Like, sounds like the most painful place to get stabbed. Right,
it sounds
do
awful.
Do not cut me. Do not cut here.
Yeah, but the way he did it, and and how fast it was, and the look on his face, like there's some stuff here that just makes you go, "Oh yeah, somebody knows something about stunts." All the guys jumping through explosions out in the woods, getting blown off to the side.
Two separate scenes.
Yeah.
The drone strike scene, I thought, oh, well, they got people being blown up out of the way. No, let's do that again.
Yeah. Like, it seems like they spent so much money, but this is half the budget of the first film. Part of that is you're not dealing with quite as many big paychecks for actors. The only two.
Yeah, I mean, how much do you? I mean, how much do you pay one of the best actors in Hollywood to take a nap for the whole film?
Yeah,
I
he
mean,
just kind of slept through half of it. That's true.
Morgan Freeman's in a coma almost 90% of the film. So
yeah,
so glad that they let him act at the end, because I was really nervous. I was like, what if that's it? What if he's just cowering and afraid the whole movie?
He was good in the first when they were out fishing and he was just having a conversation. I was reminded, I love when he just gets to act. And then it was all hell breaks loose. And then I thought, well, that was the end of that. I guess we're never going to get more. But then we got some good stuff at the end. I thought it was a good Morgan Freeman performance. Like,
the performance was amazing when he was there. I mean, most of it was him laying in a bed with some tubes in his face.
I can play intubated.
Okay. All right. I need to know your favorite Morgan Freeman without Shawshank Redemption being allowed. Brian.
Well, one of my hands to my dick. I mean, that's no good.
Hold on a second. That was a great line in the movie. But my answer is what Brian just did about the intubation performance. But anyway.
Right. That was absolutely the best.
So pick your poison.
Lucius Fox.
That's a hard one to fight with.
You like that? Yes, that's pretty good. Well,
pretty good.
So we want an actual I'm here performance, because I love his narration probably more than just about.
Yeah. That's fine.
Sure. If
anything.
It can be the penguin thing if you want.
I'm going to make it the penguin thing. Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
You're not going to make it that? Okay. For me, it's Unforgiven.
Easy reader.
Yeah, easy reader. I'm going to go with Unforgiven. I mean, it's easy to say something like Driving Miss Daisy or Million Dollar Baby or whatever, but I think his role as, basically just second to Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven is still incredible and amazing.
I know this is going to sound like the stupidest pick ever. I understand that it's a stupid pick, but his narration in War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
It's good.
Movie is practically trash without that narration.
Incorrect, but I agree that it helps to elevate it.
I said practically. I didn't say trash.
I want to talk Scott into a different opinion. Scott, could you reconsider him in Hard Rain? Like, that was like...
We just want the money!
Exactly.
It's a quintessential, pick.
Yeah, but no, like that movie sucks. Okay. So it's hard to like it too much, but I really like Seven. He's great. Amazing in Seven.
He's so good in Seven. I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite performance because all of them are consistently amazing. I mean, I've never went, oh, that was a terrible performance.
Oh, yeah. Seven was great.
Yeah, he was in Seven. For me, it's going to always be his performance in Million Dollar Baby, because he's counted on to be the observer for you. He's the one who saw events and is relating them to you, and that's just like what he was made to do. Million Dollar Baby doesn't hold up for me without Morgan Freeman in that role.
What about
Million Dollar Baby? I always forget about, because I've after watching the end, I was like, yeah, I'm never gonna watch that again. So it's kind of like I put that in one of those films that I can't take that journey again. It was just too exhausting.
What about movies like that where you don't watch the whole thing? Is that possible? Like, could you watch like the first
and make it better?
I'm trying to figure out how to, like, how would you watch Mystic River?
I see what you're saying.
It's brutal from beginning to end.
Oh, I love Mystic River though. That's a great movie. I mean, what? Okay, how about one of those, the spider walks backwards or whatever it is. The ones.
Along Came a Spider, the Alex Cross.
Yes, those.
Spider walks backwards.
That one of those. I don't really like those movies very much. I feel like they were Seven light, but he's great in them. I can never besmirch him. In fact, hell, go back to Electric Company. His easy reader character was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he's just great in everything. And
now,
I keep
that, or was it when he played Spider-Man? In Electric Company.
He was not Spider-Man in that.
I'm telling you, that's what I remember, and I'm sticking with it.
He is not. He never played
I'm
Spider-Man.
I'm almost 100% sure that was him in the costume.
Almost. Okay. Sure.
Almost. Yeah. I don't think it was him. But throwing ropes at people was the best thing about that show, because it wasn't webs. It was like.
No webs. It was what, like, we have.
Yeah. I want to watch some of that again just to see how bad it was. But he's
a completely silent Spider-Man who only spoke in. Thought bubbles and word bubbles.
But I am terrified.
And always was making that look, like had his hand on his chin, thinking.
Yes, right, exactly.
Thinking man.
I'm always just slightly...
One of the most talkative superheroes of all time, and you're going to replace him with thought bubbles.
I'm always slightly nervous that I don't want to hear something bad about him. I don't ever want anyone to come forward.
I don't think we're ever going
to
hear anything bad about Morgan Freeman. I don't think he I don't know. He doesn't give the impression that he's even capable of doing any sort of sexual misconduct or mistreatment or anything like that.
I would agree, except I felt that way about Bill Cosby. I felt that way about a couple others, and I was wrong.
I've been burnt before.
Yeah, sure. just a little nervous about it. So I don't know why. You know, that's a terrible thing to even think. Like, I can't approach every actor and go, man, I sure hope they don't have some skeletons in their closet. Right. You can't do that.
No, you have this day and age, you almost have to worry about that, right? Yeah. Like, oh my God, when's Tom Hanks or Billy Crystal or something like that going to have something like this?
Yeah. Well, what if it was Tom Hanks and Billy Crystal were caught in a car, you know, doing it or something? That'd be all right. You'd be okay with
that. That'd be all right.
I mean, yeah. Two consenting adults.
Yeah, consenting adults. Yeah,
they could do that. Yeah. So I forgot about Chain Reaction. Back to Morgan Freeman.
This is a good transition. Thanks for the pivot. Yeah.
Did we watch that here? Chain Reaction?
No.
We talked about watching that, though, right? 1996.
What is that? Tell me more.
Keanu Reeves and Morgan Freeman.
No. Chain Reaction. Yeah. Hold on. I'm looking it up.
Two rich researchers in a green alternative energy project are put on the run when they are framed for murder and treason.
God, yeah. I don't even remember this thing existing.
I remember it. Had Fred Ward in it and Brian Cox.
Rachel Weisz. She's great. Like her. Yeah. Fred Ward. I love him. Did you say Kevin? Brian Cox, as we were talking about before. Yeah, Brian Cox. Yeah. Okay. I'll watch that. Put that on our list at some point. Sure. Never even heard of it.
I've seen it before, and I remember being entertained. I can't say what level of quality there was.
I hurriedly searched for Chain Reaction and accidentally got the China Syndrome, and I was reminded need to sack the China Syndrome.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. That movie.
Wait, have we not done the China Syndrome? Okay. Yeah.
How many films have we done so far? How have we not covered it?
Four old men try and recount movies they've watched on a podcast.
The only movie we watch with the name China in the title, just for fun here. Let's do a little trivia here.
In Trouble in Little China.
There you go. You got it.
China Reaction is not available on streaming currently, but we'll keep an eye out for
it. All right.
In the bargain bin at Walmart? How about that?
I think Tubi will actually pay you $12 to watch Chain Reaction.
Right. Yeah, that's
right. Did you guys see the Angel Fallen snapshot I sent you guys from Walmart? Because I almost got excited.
No.
I was like, oh, there's the film now. I'm like, no, that's not it.
Wait, where? Is this in our chat? I missed this.
Yeah, in our Discord.
I didn't see that either.
Oh.
I think I seen it, didn't I?
No, I don't see it. Last thing I see
did you see it, or am I just imagining
it? Maybe you sent it directly to me only.
Maybe I did. I don't know.
Yeah, you must have. It's not in our
group. Oh, I see.
Oh, I see. You guys have a little private
chat between me and Randy. Uh-huh. Shut up, you guys. Uh-huh.
A little private chatty going on. All right, here's some fun trivia about this movie. Like with Olympus Has Fallen, which was 2013, by the way, and London, which was 2016, Morgan Freeman has openly admitted to interviews multiple times about all three movies that he did these movies mainly for the money. As he explained in the previous two,
I just want the money.
He says, money it's the third in a series and it pays better than the first one. He says, I get to play.
I get to take a nap.
Yep. He says, I get to play the president again. And I'm in a successful series. I'm working with a guy I admire and like. It's perfect.
See, how can you not like Morgan Freeman when he says honest stuff like that? It's like,
totally.
Yeah, it's like,
he just lays it on the line. No, I just did it for the money. That's all.
Well, last year he was 82.
You do it for the money, too.
He's like my mom's age. He's 82 years old. So, you know, doing roles like this is no small thing for an 82-year-old, I don't think. You know, it's still work.
I would like to talk about The Asylum for a moment, because watching this, I just couldn't help thinking it's almost too far away from the mainstream for a group like The Asylum to make a ripoff version. But at the same time, I really want them to. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't talked about The Asylum in at least a year. I just want to catch you up to speed. The Asylum this year has the movie Top Gunner coming out.
Oh, wow.
That's actually what it's called, Top Gunner. They're not even trying to change the name and be
right.
Eric Roberts is in that. What the frick?
they have Fast and Fierce. I'm sorry. They have a sequel to their previous movie, Fast and Fierce. It's called Fast and Fierce Death Race.
Wow. Oh, I thought they were going to go Fiercer. Oh,
yeah, I know. Faster and Fiercer.
I kid you not, they have a movie called Battle Star Wars, and I don't understand how you do that. How can you get that name on an actual movie?
Yeah, the Star Wars part you would think would be
Battle Star Wars.
Battle Star Wars.
That's really close to Star Wars.
See, we're putting the emphasis on the Battle Star and not the Star Wars. Right. I almost I got stuck, but you know what? You got it. Okay, so I'm with you. The Asylum usually has these weird names and stuff, but they almost got me the other day because I was flipping through movies on Vudu, and there was a shark section. You know, it's time for the Shark Week.
Yeah, and Asylum makes a shark movie every year now.
Yeah, and they had one called Shark Season, and yep. I didn't realize it was Asylum. It actually looked like a real movie, if you will. And I started playing the trailer and I started laughing and I'm like, oh, this is the Asylum. And I'm like, all right, yeah, good job, yeah. Asylum. Yeah.
Thanks to us all agreeing that every year needs to have a Shark Week. The Asylum has a shark movie every year. I just, they're like the Call of Duty of movie studios. They just,
I did not realize.
What's the gimmick this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are they doing? Other than Top Gun.
But that one I mentioned, I think. And then I did not realize they've branched out into animation. They've got one called Homeward.
Shut up.
Looks like a,
Onward? Yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah,
Homeward. Homeward. Yeah,
it sounds,
Homeward.
And it sounds like Onward. Yeah. Is that the joke?
Right. Exactly. It is. Look at it.
They've been doing animation. They had a whole series that was a ripoff of Cars. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's called Vehicles.
What? Automobiles.
Yeah. Oh my God, I want to watch Rent-A-Elf. You know how they got holiday movies now too. And you know how my standards really plummet around the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
I will watch anything.
Yeah. Yeah, why is that, by the way? Have you ever self-inspected yourself and figured out why you like to watch that trash during the holiday?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
Okay.
Last year, the Asylum Christmas movie was called Christmas Bells, and it's spelled B-E-L-L-E-S, so it would be like Christmas Girls. Mm.
Gotcha.
And I just can't. Like, I see that, and I'm just like, no, I can't.
Yeah. Well, not, I won't. Not in August, but, you know, December, I've had a little bit of holiday food. It's nice and warm in my kitchen, you know, in the kitchen, in the living room.
Yeah, I understand.
I would watch Top Gunner. With you guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
100%.
I would have watched it if it was Topper Gun.
You lost me right there.
Yeah. That's great. Topper Gun. Hey, by the way, I want to make Brian Ibbett sad because he has a shared love of the actor we're about to mention. At least we've talked about it on TMS a lot. I'm probably here too. But Danny Houston replaced somebody in this movie. He was originally cast and was supposed to star as the bad dude, Holt McColony. You know him. As dude, what is from Mindhunter, and we also saw him in
In Hamilton.
No, not that guy. The other one. The other guy that he works with.
Oh, regular guy, the G man.
Yeah, the rough. Yes. So I can't think of his name in the show. I love that guy.
There was actually I paused the movie for whatever reason to like go to the bathroom or something, and it was right as our two main FBI. Characters were about to go die, and like they're getting out of a helicopter, and I stopped it. I said out loud, "Wow, wouldn't it be so cool if these were the characters from Mindhunter? Like if there was a Mindhunter crossover right into this movie?
Sure,
wouldn't that have been so freaking cool,
dude? I want more Mindhunter in general. So you're speaking my language. It sounds like they may not do a third season, which really.
Really?
Cheeses me
off. They were already really opposed to doing a third season, and then COVID-19 has kind of killed it forever.
I think it was, what's his name? Who's the filmmaker who's showrunner? Can you think of his name? Made Seven?
Matt Hawley?
No,
not Matt Hawley.
Made Seven, he made Gone Girl.
Joe Penhall?
No, we all know him. Made Alien 3.
We all know him.
He's won Oscars. He made The Social Network. He works with... This director, what's wrong with us? We're all gonna die. I can't think of his name. The guy that directed Seven.
Who can't think of anything. You're killing me.
It's Fincher, David Fincher.
David Fincher. Gosh.
Yeah, of course.
So David Fincher is the showrunner on that thing, and it was already interfering a bunch with his film stuff. But I would think that COVID and slowdown in production would have affected both ways. So I don't know why they're not. But you can't leave me hanging the way they did with the him sitting on his bed and his wife's left. I mean, come on.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, the BTK killer or whatever he was called. Yeah.
We need closure.
Oh, that I have a feeling. I have a feeling, though, that the plan was for that to go on for 5 or 7 seasons of us not getting to Kansas to actually stop this guy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I hate to go back to the asylum. I know we've moved on.
Yeah.
But there's a movie called Avengers Grim Time Wars, the original Wonder Women.
Shut up.
They've taken everything that they have.
Right.
And they put it in this one stew.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Unhappy being ruler of the underworld, Rumpelstiltskin frees himself and goes into hiding, making plans to take over Earth once and for all. As the Avengers Grim fight to stop him, they quickly discover it's not where Rumpelstiltskin is hiding, but when. Forcing our heroes to fight through the ages. I want to watch this film right now.
So they're trying to capitalize on Avengers, Once Upon a Time, and Wonder Woman all in one. I love it that they're just spilling all their candy right there in the lobby.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find this. What's this called?
I don't know. I was taking a deep dive into the asylum.cc website, and I accidentally clicked on this when I saw it and was very excited to click on it.
I do hope everybody watches the Top Gunner trailer at some point. It's all over the place. And it's just a great, great example of how you can use video game footage now to make serious movies. Like you can make a good looking, you know, jet plane movie now using video game footage.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You know, like in engine stuff. If you want to see, if you guys haven't seen it, anyone out there listening, Disney Plus has it. Go watch the behind the scenes stuff for The Mandalorian and witness what I believe to be the future of especially science fiction and fantasy filmmaking. It is
unbelievably
cool. Like they've got this cave. What do they call it? The projection cave. I think they call it that. Yeah. Basically they've got this big apparatus they've built where the actor in the Mandalorian costumes walking around in this space and it's all projection. It's almost like we've gone full circle, but it's projection from Unreal Engine 5. And all of the walls, the objects, the stuff, anything animating, lighting, it's all dynamic ray trace lighting. All this stuff is happening in real time based on camera movement. Yeah. The cameras are in sync with the movement of the backgrounds. So everything you ever saw that looked cool in The Mandalorian, all shot in this cave. It is the raddest thing I've ever seen. It is so the future, dude. It is so cool.
Yeah, we're heading towards an interesting time.
And it's cheaper. It's expensive as a brand new thing, but it's cheaper in the production and in the long haul in trying to recreate those shots in any other way. And none of them looked staged or fake. All of it looked real. And it's just amazing.
So I just want to add my favorite bit of little trivia from The Mandalorian making.
I got a theme for you. Let's do that real quick. Hold on. I got it right here. Where is it? Oh shoot! Do I not have it? I gotta have it. Okay.
Oh.
All right. Go ahead, Nango.
This bit of trivia fits what you just played perfectly. Ludwig Göransson is the composer. He also composed all of the score for Black Panther.
Oh.
All the non hip hop parts of Black Panther score.
Yeah.
Ludwig Göransson is our composer for Mandalorian. He went to a classroom and borrowed some instruments from children's instruments, and then brought them into the recording studio to make those sounds that you just played.
Oh, that's great.
Borrowed or strong-armed?
Give me that thing, kid. Murdered children.
Yeah.
And stolen their...
Yeah. They went all the way into the other side of that. You know,
I have spoken.
He's great. And by the way, that brings us back because I have spoken, of course, Nick Nolte guy. He is pretty great in this, but you know, this is just, he's not doing anything special here. This
Any
is
old
just
man
him
could do this is what you're saying.
Yeah. No.
This could have been Wilford Brimley.
It could have been Brimley. Could have been.
No.
You know, it could have been, who played Maurice on,
How dare you people boil down Nick Nolte to some old guy.
I love Nick Nolte. Don't get me wrong. That dude, I mean, and don't forget, Nick Nolte was once voted by People Magazine the world's sexiest man.
That's right. And don't you forget it. And if you forgot why, just take a look at the second post-credit scroll.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
Wait, there was a second one?
Yeah, the second. You didn't stay that long.
Well, there was the one with the sensory deprivation chambers.
Oh, well, that's the second one because the first one, the credits roll for like half a second,
Right.
And then they're like in the back.
They're in the backyard.
Backyard.
But then immediately they don't show any credits between that and then the sensory deprivation place.
I'm pretty sure they faded to black and then went back in. I could be wrong, but I thought there was some credits in between.
Missed it.
I didn't think there were any credits in between.
I missed it.
Very well, Nick Nolte.
I need to talk about all of the incredible old men that could have played this role. Because it's
so, can we just add them to IMDb as old men considered for...
imagine how awesome it would have been if it had been Patrick Stewart with all that hair.
Yeah, except we couldn't have him do his accent. It's got to be some crusty American-y guy, and I guess he could
do that. What if it was Brian Dennehy? Oh, my God.
Yeah, he died.
There's Stoffer. Chris Christopherson could have done this.
Yeah, he could have done it.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. Is there anybody more suited to being a gruff old pissed off war veteran than Chris Christopherson?
James Brolin? Like, seriously.
No. I disagree. I think Nick Nolte was the one and only pick for this role.
Hmm. No. I would have loved to see Donald Sutherland as this role. I think he would have been so funny.
Donald Sutherland. Hold on a minute. No, that can't work. He's too wimpy.
That can't work.
He's too scraggly. Like, you got to have somebody. Nick Nolte, at least, you know, he's at least one point in his life, he's a big buff looking dude. Like 48 hours or whatever. Like 48 hours, Nick Nolte is a big ass Nick Nolte. And so you could see, even though he's diminished quite a bit with his age, you could see him being kind of a badass. I think he was pretty perfectly cast.
And he needs to be somewhat underestimated, right? Like a Donald Sutherland, you would think, oh no, he's got a plan. He's not
he definitely has a plan.
You know, rave saloon glow sticks down a well for us to go, you know, start meandering around. He's like, you know, Nick Nolte kind of comes across as like, I'm just kind of a feeble old man, but oh, check out all these wires. I've got this place bombed to shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My problem was, I don't feel like he was performing. Like, my last offering is Scott Glenn. I would have loved to see Scott Glenn in that role.
Oh, he's great.
And I just feel like I would have understood what the hell he was saying, as opposed to Nick Nolte, who, I don't know. It felt like he didn't read the script and he was just going with whatever.
Yeah, I kind of like that about him. But you're not wrong about Scott Glenn. Was he Stick in the Marvel Netflix stuff? He was Stick, right? Right, Brian? You know this stuff.
Yes, from Daredevil. Yes, he totally was.
Yeah, Stick.
Daredevil.
Yeah. What a great name, Stick.
Because not Keith Carradine. Was it Keith Carradine that I get confused with Scott Glenn sometimes?
You might.
Maybe. Very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You shouldn't anymore because one of them's dead, but yeah.
Well, David Carradine then.
I'm going to go back and flimsily defend.
Maybe Peter Fonda. That's who I'm getting confused with.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go back and flimsily defend Nick Nolte in this role, because I think what was important to our particular director is eye acting. You know, everything is acted in the eyes. And I think Nick Nolte can perform eye acting better than just about anybody you listed. I think he's just in it.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my favorite trope in the movie. Oh. And oh, is it a trope? We are in our safe house. We are hiding out from the world and knowing that someone might be coming to kill us. And the backyard is wide open. There is, man, anyone can just walk right the F into your house as long as they come in through the back.
Yeah, we're going to cover the rest of this, but back door.
Including a scraggly old man who has literally never been in civilization since the 1970s. Can just walk right up. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't mind me. I'm just tiptoeing to stab some guy in the neck and scare the crap out of a little kid. All right.
Yeah, he sure. Grandpa sure showed right away how that kid will be scarred for the rest of his life looking at him stab a guy.
They love that trope in all of these movies, right? Like the original Olympus Has Fallen is based on that trope. Like whatever you think is defensible, actually people can get right into. Mm-hmm. And they do it again later in the hospital, you know, like twice. Mm-hmm. The hospital gets infiltrated twice later, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I love that. That's a thing that I can't get enough of in action movies. Nick Nolte out in the woods, he has secret tunnels.
Yeah.
Like, I love
that. Yeah, secret tunnels are great. Here's the other thing I really liked. There are three historical records in the movie that are all presidential, and they're all from Morgan Freeman. He is the first, but he has played presidents in two films, Deep Impact just this one film, the last
just
two.
This
he,
one, right,
last time he was vice president, one before that, Speaker of the House.
Secretary, Speaker of the House.
And then, but that's the other record. He's the only person, even though it's fictionally, but the only person ever portrayed in Hollywood, and it's never happened in real life, where somebody served as both Speaker of the House, or all three, Speaker of the House, Vice President, and then President. That's never happened. And he played the oldest president, sitting president, at 82 or 81, whatever it is. No one's ever been that old fictionally or in real life holding that job as president, although that may change this November. But anyway, that's the that's the point there, and that's kind of a fun thing to be able to hang your hat on.
That is.
Yeah.
Oldest fictional president.
And wouldn't it be fun to like think of this movie in the same universe as Deep Impact? Like, this is the same guy? That's kind of cool.
Right.
So you thought that meteor was bad. Oh, man. Now now they're drones. Oh, no.
Get Mike Banning to protect
about the
meteor. Yeah.
I love. Can we talk about the drone scene? I alluded to it in my opening, but I enjoyed it the first time I watched this film. The second time watching it, I'm like, oh, my God, what a way to go out of your way to try to execute a president. I mean, this is just the most ridiculously over the top plan, A-team plan that I've ever seen.
Well, all right, it's not.
No, it does play to our fears, but it's not. Right.
But it's also not as ridiculous a way if you're not just wanting to kill the president, but also frame somebody for doing it. So you need to do it from a distance, there's no risk of getting caught.
Sniper.
Well, no, because a sniper, if Mike Banning is close by.
Did you ever see Shooter? I like to think of this the same world as Shooter.
We've established Shooter.
Is that an asylum film?
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, that's a good movie. That's a Peter Berg film. It's good.
Amazing film.
Yeah. I like Shooter. Shooter's good. They made a TV show based on it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, as many times we've seen people, snipers shoot from crazy long distances. Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems more realistic.
You still have to get a lot closer than you would with just sending a bunch of drones.
Yeah, a swarm of drones.
I feel like the
further we get into a world where drones are commonplace and also more capable and do all sorts of crazy things, it's easier for me to buy into it. Otherwise, if you'd have done this 10 years ago, I would have gone, well, wait a minute, drones don't do this. And also, this computer tech is all wrong.
I think part of it is the fact that I am so keyed in right now in the real world that in order to maintain a conspiracy, you have to keep it very, very minimalized. You can't have more than a few people be involved. As soon as you get more than, a handful of people involved, you suddenly increase your chances of a whistleblower.
Oh, yeah. No, you start this truth. The minute truth starts to be too available to a conspiracy, then you've ruined your conspiracy. Right. So you're right.
It just seemed really impractical. Now, don't get me wrong. It played to my fears because we fear the drones because we're not sure where
you go.
Yeah. And, being killed remotely is a scary thought.
Yeah, sure. Nobody likes that. And also this idea that it's just overwhelming force. It's like there's no way that like a traditional attack is like a sniper where it's like get down. You pile on top of the president. You got people all over the place nested with their own sniper guns that are there to protect them. They're all now training on wherever that's coming from, wherever the shot's coming from. Like, there's ways to deal with a fight like that. The drones were just like this overwhelming, undefensible thing.
Unless you dive into the water. Oh, my gosh. Just dive into the water, all of you.
Yeah, you all should have gotten in the water. Right. Yeah.
Here, one, every one of those drones was carrying 100 pounds of gasoline, which was just...
right, yeah, to make the explosions the thing.
Well, that was weird. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Keep talking.
I'm talking. I thought I got disconnected.
No, it switched us to central and nobody asked it to. That's weird.
That's weird.
I don't know what that was.
Maybe, we got to talking too much.
Oh, yeah.
We've said the wrong things. Yeah. We're being.
All this
Scott will never go back and edit this. So I'm just going to start over here. you can all hear this again. Yeah. So two things. One, every one of those drones is a miracle because it's carrying 100 pounds of gasoline. And that I'm OK with it. I bought it. Wow. What amazing flamey explosions those things make. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But why did this movie spend so much effort to make us understand that there were federal agent snipers on rooftops?
Right.
If those snipers don't get used for anything later, like they should have been the most impressive thing happening during all of the gun battles around the hospital.
Oh, good point.
And you'd think they'd see a row, you know, a line of three SUVs, black SUVs, 2 feet apart, driving 60 miles an hour, weaving around, approaching.
This is actually the weakest part of the film for me, and I'm not sure. I haven't been able to nail it, but the weakest part of this film to me is never establishing your location. It always seemed that the location was a little bit wonky. You didn't really know why, you know, a car was in a certain location, whether it was on a highway, was it on an interstate, was it on a back road, was it in, it was like these, a lot of hand waving for your setup for your location. And so that threw me a lots of times.
Mm. It was especially weird that how much of this movie was filmed in England.
Mm. Like, oh, I didn't know that.
Like straight up England. I'm not sure why, but there, you know, like there's just like, there were parts of it that didn't look like the other parts. And I think the whole thing is supposed to take place in a pretty small space around Washington, D.C. Like we're in Virginia, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have. If you've been to Virginia, it's a lot of roads in the back, in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that's what's funny. None of these filming locations are Virginia. There's some stuff in actual D.C., that they shot, and then the rest of it's like Sofia, Bulgaria, Berkshire, England.
Wow.
Upper Hayford by Chester, England. Rushmore Arena, Aldershot, wherever the hell that is. Long Cross
is
Studios.
Is that where the director lives or something? I mean, is there, what's the reason for?
I don't know. It's really weird. Maybe they got a better deal. I mean, I don't know. You always go to different places for different breaks.
Sure. But,
and the it was a $70 million budget for the first film. This one was only 40. So
I guess you go where there's a hospital that is or a building that you can make into a hospital that's set to be demolished.
Yeah.
Right. And the hospital, by the way, we have, you know, we keep establishing that there's a lot of protection around the hospital, and they were letting people in two by two in that hospital for just about most of the movie. And I'm like, and it's supposed to have been taking place throughout the day, maybe even 2 days.
Yeah,
I guess probably 2 or 3 days, and it was just like this constant influx,
right,
of staff.
Right. Whereas in reality, if the president of the United States had been nearly assassinated and was in some hospital that wasn't the White House itself, the federal government would cordon off so much territory around that thing. Like there would be barricades 5 miles in every direction around that hospital.
Yeah.
You know, but
and they wouldn't have that back alley where freaking what's his name just pull up and start shooting.
I'm telling you, your back door is just complete. Anyone can come.
It is.
It is your back door.
That was kind of jacked up.
But, yeah, it's a Saturday night at Ebbets house, but I didn't care. I forgave this movie for stuff like that so easily because it's just so like
it's just
earnestly fun.
Yeah.
Oh, it is fun.
Time. It's a good time. I like this. Like I like The Rock. Like I like Die Hard. Like I like some of my favorite action films. They may have been more innovative in that they kind of created all of this stuff, and this is very derivative of those. But I don't know. It's got the spirit of it, and I didn't expect the third one to enjoy it as much. I just really had a good time with it. And I've liked his other movies, by the way. I've seen recently Shot Caller. That was awesome. He wrote that, and also Felon wrote and directed that, which is one of the final things you ever get to see Val Kilmer in before he got really sick. 2008, I guess.
I saw him something recently. He was after his surgery, his tracheotomy. It was odd because
he was wearing
this neck gaiter. What do you call him? Gaiter? What do you call him?
Like a big thick scarf kind of thing.
Yeah. So he was wearing a big thing like that. And it was odd to see.
It's like what Ebert wore toward the end. He would have to wear like a thing to sort of hide it. But yeah, he did an interview with somebody here recently. It was interesting, and I guess he's getting into some roles again. But I guess he's in Top Gun, but only
briefly.
Yeah,
shirtless maybe. Is it probably
my guess is Iceman has fallen on hard times. Maybe they roll it into the story that he'd gotten sick, and maybe Maverick has to go visit him or something. I don't know. I'm actually weirdly excited about Top Gun.
course.
Yeah.
Sure.
Top Gun 2, sorry.
Not as much about Top Gunner.
No. Top Gunner less so, but only with you guys. Yeah. I'm stoked about that. But yeah, if you guys, I mean, for real, Shot Caller, which I think is still on, not Shock, by the way, Shot Caller, which is on.
Shot Caller. He's calling the shots.
That was 2017, so it's relatively new. It's on Netflix, I think, and it's that's a genuinely good drama, like prison drama thing. It's very good.
How do you guys feel about part threes and diminished heroes?
Well, usually I don't like them. That's why I was surprised here. But then again, Logan's another example of one that works. Because Logan's the third in the run, right?
And it feels like that's the prototypical one for our generation. The Wolverine movies are about a man breaking down and getting old and facing the loss of his powers and so on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like, I can't think of a better example there. I know Sylvester Stallone tries really hard to tell that story, sure. But I think Wolverine does it better. And I feel like this movie, this movie's weakness is actually trying to get me to care that Banning is too old for this shit. I just don't care.
Yeah. Okay, let me put it this way. I really like Gerard Butler. I don't know how I feel about it.
That's a long pause.
I don't know how I feel about it. However, like, having him break down is not as... I'm not as invested in him. Like, the Banning character is just kind of a guy who busts into everything. And this movie helped, though, because this movie was more character study and more like, well, why am I like I am? And here's my dad. Look at he's a total mess, and he can see in my eyes why... War is hell for everybody, no matter what your time was like. And, you know, like, there's some of that, so it builds it out and makes it better. But in the first two movies, he's just, you know, tough guy who can John Wick his way out of anything. And in this one,
I didn't realize how much his advantage, his only advantage, he has the same training as our bad guy. I mean, you know, choreographed in the final scenes where they, you know, are mirroring each other's movements and approach. The only advantage he ever uses is his headbutting. He uses his head, and he's suffering.
He's got a big, thick, puffy head.
And he's suffering greatly from the one move he has that's made him, you know, the hero, and that's the headbutt. But he's suffering compression in his neck and concussions, and so he's really paying for doing this. And it's just such a weird thing around our hero.
Didn't you really like that the movie started, though, with this trope definition of what makes Banning stronger than these other guys? That he trains like it's real, and they actually said it, like, they say it out loud so you can remember that later. Oh, this is why he's better.
I said it three times, I believe, which was just enough to bring Candyman back.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wait, I thought Candyman was five times. No?
Was it five times for Candyman? Three, I'm thinking of Bloody Mary.
Three for Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
I'm thinking of Bloody Mary.
Yeah, I believe Beetlejuice and Bloody Mary are three. Right. Candyman is five.
Five.
I hope in that new movie they get it right, the new Candyman. Right. Which I'm very excited about, by the way. Bring that on. Uh-huh. Let's get to it.
Yeah.
All right. One other thing I wanted to say was this. Nick Nolte and Tim Blake Nelson have both appeared in different movies about the Incredible Hulk. They also appeared in The Thin Red Line together. So you had the original, or you had the Ang Lee Hulk, which had Nick Nolte. Was great in that, by the way.
As the Abomination.
Yeah.
Or as his dad.
His dad.
His
dad. But something happened to
him. I know. He eventually becomes...
Abomination was the 2008 one, I think.
Oh, right. What was the bad guy in, was it just Thunderbolt was the bad guy in the original Ang Lee? I thought there was
electricity involved.
I thought it was the poodle.
No.
That was the,
there was electricity involved, but I don't remember how, what the deal was. It had something to do with Nick Nolte.
Nolte is father, right? And Sam Elliott, was Thunderbolt Ross.
Oh, Sam Elliott? I didn't know that. That's great. Keep him in there. They should have kept going there. William Hurt's fine, but let's get Sam Elliott back in that job. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you had Tim Blake Nelson in the first Ant-Man?
No, he was in the
he's in the Hulk, the second Hulk, right.
Right. It was underrated, in my opinion.
Yeah,
agreed. And it was going to be such a great setup for Tim Blake Nelson to play the leader.
Yeah.
They show his head growing in shadow off screen to the size of the leader's head, but you never get that.
You never get the satisfaction.
Right. By the way, Brian, have you read that new The Eternal.
I haven't seen it, but I saw you posting on Twitter about the new Hulk.
Yeah, Immortal Hulk is very good.
It looks good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a good read. I resubbed to Marvel Unlimited, and the first thing I picked up, and I just thought, oh, let's see what this is. And it's good. That might be the best the Hulk's been since I last read it. It's very good.
Wow, I'm getting it now. It's on Marvel Unlimited?
Yeah. Yeah.
Advantage over Comixology?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's way more Marvel.
bad guy in Ang Lee's Hulk was Absorbing Man.
Absorbing Man?
Absorbing Man. Remember, it was being able to, it was basically...
he could take your rogue.
His dad.
Rogue in it, right?
Not sort of. He can absorb the material of anything. So like he touches a cement wall, he can become cement. He touches a steel table, he becomes steel.
Just has a bad name.
What happens if he touches coffee? Trying to drink a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Don't remind me. I'm down to a quarter of a cup, I'm nursing it as slowly as I can.
Just keep sipping that, just barely as we go here. Anyway, I forgot Tim McNelson was in The Thin Red Line. That's a really good movie too. 1998's
Thin Red Line. Look. Okay. No.
You don't like The Thin Red Line?
Thin Red Line is not a good movie. It is a cavalcade of every actor who has ever worked in Hollywood. So if you ever want to say, yeah, he was in The Thin Red Line, it was a good guess because, yeah, he probably was.
Dude, Thin Red Line is a weird, cool thing. I can't believe you don't like that. That's crazy.
Oh, I like parts of it, but it is way too long.
Okay.
Just supporting Brian Dunaway here. Terrence Malick doesn't try to make a movie that you're going to like.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's ever doing in every movie Terrence Malick's ever made. I can't explain it, but it's not, I'm trying to entertain you and make you like this. It's right. This artist's vision thing that I just can never fully crack open.
Tree of Life, The New World, Thin Red Line.
I can't argue that it is beautiful art.
Oh, right. Tree of Life is so meandering and dull.
And right. it's just like, what was the point? I don't know. Terrence Malick seems to know, but he's not going to depict it in a way that tells you what the point is.
His movies are so pretty. They're so pretty.
Watch a screensaver.
I mean,
watch toasters. I mean, come on.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Watch a screensaver. They should make a Terrence Malick screensaver, but it would just be a silent running of Thin Red Line. That's amazing.
He had a movie come out last year or earlier this year or something. And I loved the trailer for it. It's called A Hidden Life. And I'm watching this trailer going, wow, I can't wait to see this beautiful movie. Yeah. And then it's like written, directed by Terrence Malick. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch that. I don't know. I like stuff. Okay. I guess.
Well, that's fine. Like I said, I would never judge somebody for actually liking it. I give the movie a hard time, Thin Red Line, but it really was just such, it was just so, it's like the book of love. It's full of what's the lyrics go? It's long and boring.
Book of Love, the movie?
No, the song.
The
Book of Love is long and boring.
Yeah, it's Book of Love is long and boring.
Because there's a movie with Jason Sudeikis in it called The Book of Love in 2016. I remember that. Oh yeah, there it is. Jessica Biel's in that. Maisie Williams, you know, the one from Game of Thrones and that Marvel movie that'll never come out. Paul Reiser.
Supposedly in 13 days we're supposed to get that, so we'll see.
Excellent.
We'll see.
I have a trope for you. I'm sorry, I have a chick in the bucket.
Don't you know it's dangerous to leave a bucket lying around?
For me, it's the Asian guy in the basement that's setting off the hospital. What happened to him? Everyone else got their comeuppance and their justice, but he just sat down there, hit the button, and went home.
He's still there. No, he didn't go home. But the chicken in a bucket never goes anywhere. They're left where you leave them.
I guess so. I mean, I think you could say those sniper guys were also chicks in the bucket, like you were mentioning earlier. If you're going to have all these sniper positions in the buildings during the final siege, and then they did nothing. They're
going, I don't know. Can you see anything? I can't see nothing. Smoke. We're in terrible position for snipers.
Yeah, smoke's everywhere. Let's go home. Let's go get a beer.
Let's go home.
But the Asian guy, he just cracked me up because I keep calling the Asian guy. I was calling the guy in the basement. There were multiple people in the basement, but eventually he was alone down there. And his job was just waiting for the CO2 to build up and then igniting it. And then you're done.
So that was his whole job.
No justice.
He wiped his hands off and then he went and got some coffee and good job.
Yeah.
Like, thank you.
Yeah. And then how about this? You guys are going to have to help guess here.
Gross.
Okay. What do you think grossed me out the most? What grossed me out the most? What do you think? This is a tricky one. It's subtle. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
And I'll say, and I'll give you a hint. It's way at the end of the movie.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Way at the end of the movie, gross thing for Scott.
Gerard Butler licks his fingers when they're talking about dad moving in.
Oh, he did?
They're passing around the food at the dinner table.
I missed that. I assumed his fingers were sort of clean and it's okay. Gerard Butler fingers are fine. They're all right.
He's the clean man.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they're always covered with syrup.
Sticky from syrup? Okay.
Yeah.
It was pretty gross when Gerard Butler stabs bad guy and then we're shown the bleeding.
Yeah, it was very...
And Gerard Butler's right up close with it. He's like right... He's still hugging on this man.
Randy,
like
you have no idea how close you are. You're so close to the answer here. That was not the answer, but you're just right in it. You're in the zone. Okay, I'll get right, you guys
pull
give
the
up.
Chain.
All right,
pull the chain.
Here, I'm pulling the chain. It's Danny Houston at one point and Gerard Butler are so face-to-face that I can see Danny Houston blowing his hot, stinky, mid-50s actor breath right in the face of Gerard Butler. His hair's moving. It's blowing it so hard. And all I could think of was like, man, I don't care how many Tic Tacs you've got.
There was an associate producer who got a credit on this movie for just managing the Altoids. That's like their right. only job.
So even a share size version of Tic Tacs would not be enough.
No, it would not be enough. Not a
family size.
What's a share size? Oh, share. Like I thought you meant the actress singer share, like C-H-E-R share. That's what I thought you were saying.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
What's this? So there's a share size. There's a sunny size.
Yeah, of course. There's this share size of all candies. Now it's like we can't admit that an individual could actually eat a candy bar that is the size of their head.
Right.
So we have to call it share size.
Share size. Isn't like we're implying that you're going to share this, though we know you're probably not.
We know the truth.
Yeah.
And share it with yourself.
I got you, babe. Is all I was thinking of. I was thinking of her.
It's the size of Cher.
Yeah. That's all I could think of you were saying. It was
the size of Cher in a thong. Yeah. I got you.
Got you. What's that song?
On a warship.
What's that song? How's
if
that go?
I could turn back time.
Yeah.
I would not eat this Snickers.
That ugly kid in mask. Anyway. Moving on.
Do you believe in life?
Oh, do you believe in life? In life?
Lord,
this podcast just it goes places
places. All right, let's get to some clips. I have a number of them, and they begin actually not too many actually because it's I don't know, there's not a lot of terrible dialogue in this movie, but there's some things,
right?
So I wrote, we love him, right?
This is the man who could be taking my place.
Okay, we haven't even talked about him.
Oh, Lance Riddick. He's the best.
He is the best.
I just got done watching, doing a rewatch of Lost, and he only comes in for a little bit as Abaddon, who kind of guides John Locke through getting everybody back to the island. But he is just so good.
Yeah.
He's on coma watch here in this episode. So
it's not a great role for him here, but he still just commands so much presence when he's on screen. And I loved him in Bosch. I love him in, like you said, Lost. He was great in that other show that was like Lost. Now I can't think of the name, but it was like,
not so Lost.
No, it was popular. It was on Fox, ran like six seasons.
Fringe.
Yeah, he was great on Fringe.
Oh, yeah, I love Fringe. Yeah.
So he's in all three of these movies, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
He has an appearance in all of these.
He was in White House Down. I'm looking to see which
London. Did he go to London too?
I don't say like White House Down was the other one.
Right? Oh my God, he was in the wrong first.
Wait a minute. Are you serious?
I forgot about that. You're right though.
I haven't seen White House Down, so I don't know. Can't compare it.
Not think of an example of a movie where you jump from the twinsy to the other one in the series.
Great.
Right. Yeah.
That's really great. Okay, you know who had his job before was what's her name, not she should have played Storm but she didn't, actress.
This is like if you told me that R. Burton was going to be in a Star Wars movie, seriously. This is so freaking weird. I okay, so maybe he wasn't in all three, but I just want to say really cool that Reddick got to survive this one because I thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
Right, right. He just got injured instead, right?
Are you thinking like Angela Bassett?
Yes, Angela Bassett. She, in the first two, she had the role that Lance, what's his name, had in this one. In charge of the Secret Service. And she died in London
in the London one. That's why she's not here. And Aaron Eckhart. Aaron Eckhart.
She's not here.
Aaron Eckhart didn't die. He just moved on to be, or he ended his presidency, and we don't get all the details about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's living somewhere
else. I guess he also does a lot of voices for Horizon Zero Dawn and Destiny.
Really? He'd be, his voice is cool.
He has such a great voice. Yeah. I mean,
he might be
more stuff, more Lance Riddick.
He might be one of my favorite character actors working today. He's really awesome. Also, just a sad note to remind yourselves that the first two movies had Robert Forrester in them as the chief of staff, military guy, joint chief of staff guy.
But, always great.
Yeah. But
they have Vladimir Putin in them. Oh, my God.
That was so weird. Yeah, whole he looks like he's so aware. I mean, it looks like he was literally filmed.
It was some Forrest Gump shit. It was Forrest Gumpy.
Yeah.
Man, you know? With all those other people, and I'm like, wait a minute. I was trying to figure out when that was from. Was that from a recent thing? Was that Trump he was over on top of? Was he on top of Obama?
Putin always looks like he's looking around like, where am I right now?
No, he's a shit-eating grinner, dude.
Where is this at? Where am I?
I imagined in the moment that it was from an Obama appearance, and they just switched out Obama.
Now, you're not saying that because they're both black, are you? I just want to make sure that you're not saying that. I'm just teasing.
No, because everybody looks so comfortable, and in any of those group shots of leaders that involve Trump, they look like there's a black cloud around him.
No, that's like a fair point.
Farted every time. You know?
That's a good point. It probably was, and I was totally kidding. All right, let's move on to this one. I said this is an old man thing to say.
These walls have more leaks than a submarine with a screen door.
Like, oh my gosh, yeah, that was
which is wrong. Because a submarine with a screen door has one leak, but it's a really big one.
It's really bad leak.
So not everything more has more leaks than
right.
It's a terrible. How about
some bad idea, like a screen door on that's a submarine?
That's the phrase. It's like so. Yeah. Like, well, that's not the idiom. That's not the phrase. Yeah,
it's a bad idiom.
As useless as a
there you go. Yeah,
screen door on a submarine.
I'm not voting for him when he comes up.
You're not voting for
him. Here's. We thought you was a toad guy.
It's not the same fighting for money as when you fight for your flag.
It's so different not hearing him go, I tell you what, I'm Tim Blake Nelson with a crazy boy. Like, he isn't doing that at all.
I know. I want the Buster Scruggs.
Yeah.
Scott's Tim Blake Nelson is apparently Delmar from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what we assume Tim Blake Nelson sounds like in real life.
And it's almost all he ever does. The when he was in Minority Report, heaven forbid we bring that up ever again, but Minority Report, he's the keeper of all the prisoners.
Right.
And he's got that, hey, what's going on? You don't want to be in here. Like, he still does it. So this was very different for me to hear him like this. All right. Didn't get the title of the movie. Oh, I got it. All right. Normally a movie will say the title of their movie.
They kind of did.
They did this in a different way.
Oh, I love that you caught this. Good.
And for the first time, I'm embarrassed again to admit, that's when I finally realized what the hell an angel stood for. I didn't get it until now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I thought, Olympus Has Fallen. I knew about the White House being called Olympus. Sure. I knew about the code word. Sure. London. Right. Okay, they're in London. I get it. The whole thing's falling in London. Here, Angel. I'm like, Angel, what the hell's that? Now we get it. So here it is.
President Trumbull's top guardian angel has fallen.
Derp!
I'm so glad you got that. That's like sneaking a word in between other words. Yep.
Totally. And it was for dummies like me who didn't understand the title. And
I'm a dummy along with you. I didn't think about it either until they said, I'm like,
The president. Code name exactly as many times as I would allow. If they had said Pathfinder one more time, I was going to lose it. Yeah. But it was perfect. This is fine. This is fine. You established that he has a code name. Thank you. That's enough.
And since he wasn't doing many presidential things, he was mostly in a coma. And so every time they were trying to pull him out of a dangerous situation, they were either trying, get Air Force One or, the helicopter and his whatever it is, Force One. And when they put him in the wheelchair, I thought, oh, do they designate that wheelchair
as wheelchair one?
And I'm like, oh, no, he's got some sweatpants on. Are those sweatpants one? And I couldn't stop.
My original greeting, which I couldn't work out to my satisfaction, was using the word Pathfinder over and over. And it was like calling on What's a Tarantino movie? Pulp Fiction. Is Pathfinder awake? Pathfinder's sleeping. Yeah. Wake him up then. this movie had literally those words.
Yeah.
It messed me up in a different way, because all I can think of was the Pathfinder role-playing game system. Oh, and so I kept hearing that in my head. I'm like, no, stop talking about Pathfinder. I like D&D systems better. Anyway.
It was a Bungie game, Pathfinder something, right? Something in a Pathfinder or something.
Bungie game?
Pathways into Darkness. Never mind. That's what I'm thinking.
That's not
of.
Bungie, though. Is it?
It wasn't?
Isn't?
Is it?
I thought that was a
Bungie game. That's a Bungie game.
Is it a Bungie game?
That goes back to like 30 years.
I'm thinking of
Wolfenstein.
Game. Yeah. Like, well, I thought they did.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. They did. Yeah, look at that.
Pathways into Darkness.
I mix that up with Day of Defeat all the time. I always think it's the Day of Defeat team. It's not. I think the Day of Defeat people made, I don't know what they did.
Day of Defeat.
We used to call it Dodd, and we used to love that game.
Yeah. Time to take your shoes off and get the Day of Defeat on.
All right.
Wow, you can actually still get it on the Mac App Store and play it on your computer.
Really?
On your computer?
Computer.
Your processing machine?
Computer.
On your computer.
All right, here's I wrote such a different role for him.
The President of the United States is lying in a coma, and 18 Secret Service agents are dead. This already blew up in our face.
Yeah, dude. Tim Blake Nelson, take it to the hoop.
Yeah.
Blew up in our face.
Face! We thought you was a toad.
Oh, he was also really good in that Watchmen.
Oh, yeah. HBO. Gosh, I forgot how much I liked him in Watchmen. He's great in that.
He's so good.
What was the name of that character? Mirror or Reflection or
something like that. Yeah. Am I not
coming through?
Yeah, we hear
you're
you.
No, through. You're not, apparently, because you've been saying something.
Did you? What'd you say? Looking Glass. That's it. Did you say that, Randy?
Never mind. Go on.
No, what'd you say? Did you say Looking Glass or I missed it?
Let's pretend I said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. I just did it. We didn't hear you. All right. Here's the how the F did you find me, Nolte? Oh.
How the f did you find me?
Okay.
How the friggity frick.
We just followed the water that you were spilling everywhere. It was quite easy.
I love the absolute ridiculous hypocritical conceit that he's been cashing his benefits checks while being so totally off the grid. He's not, apparently he's not off the grid at all. Like, not even a little bit.
Yeah. He's, I looked up why he shakes so much in his voice and stuff, thinking, he's got some Parkinson's or something like that or whatever. Everything I found says it's from his massive cocaine use in the 80s. So,
yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, as we get older, especially when you get to this age, I mean, nerve damage can become a factor. There's a lot of things that, that could become a factor for shaking. It's nothing to be embarrassed
not
about.
At all.
Did make me laugh trying to watch him in the background, because they played it off like whatever.
Yeah.
But he was in the background trying just to get a sip of water. And I mean, he was back there like a paint mixer at Lowe's, just throwing water. There couldn't have been any water in that cup.
Yeah. But like I say, I kind of like him like this. I'd like him
absolutely
just a little frantic. There's something about him. All right. Bad mumbo jumbo. So here's some bad tech.
Hacked into Bang's government IP server and compiled the search history.
Yeah.
Hacked into their IP server.
Yeah, their IP server, and then hacked the search history of the IP server.
Right. Why did it be coming from? The first thing I was like, see if there's any IPs from. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like their IP, like they would have used their IPs directly from their their servers.
I like when movies take that stuff more seriously and do their research, and this one did not do that, but hardly any do.
There's a conceit that I usually give a movie in our hero. Our hero is typically very capable and very smart, and he's usually just a little above average, but the things they required for him to be an expert at, we're starting to kind of get to me a little bit, like road fighting police officers in a semi truck. Knowing how to handle a semi truck would never be something that would be in his skill set enough so that he could actually fight off police officers who were trained.
Or he could jackknife it and then leave it, and then leave the thing there as a block. It's that was
I like my hero being, you know, a little superhuman, but there was times where I'm like, okay,
he knows exactly how to break down any gun in order to make a lock picking tool,
which I could see maybe because, you know, maybe he's on the internet a lot and he's reading about that stuff.
I was ready to see him pilot a helicopter. Like that's how good he is at everything.
Yeah.
Well, the original poster showed Air Force One going down, and apparently that was a part of the script and got pulled. They didn't do it. So
we ain't got the budget to take down a plane,
an airplane. Yeah, but they could have done Marine One. That would have been cool. Watch a helicopter go down. That'd been all right. All right. Here's it's him saying you're welcome.
You're welcome.
All right.
That was my favorite.
Do you have your Barack Obama going, thank you, Satan? Can you play the two back to back, please?
Yeah. Hold on. I can do this for you, Brian. Hold on a second here. Let's see.
I like combos.
Yeah, I like combos as well. Let's see. Thank you, Satan.
Combos. Pizza flavored.
Thank you, Satan. All right, we got thank you, Satan. Let me just pull this down here. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. So we're gonna go.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Satan. There you go.
Wrong order.
Yeah, let me do it again. Here we go.
Thank you, Satan. You're welcome.
There you go. That was worth it.
Totally worth it.
Yeah,
totally.
Worth it. Totally worth it. All right, this is a weird scene. I didn't expect this one. See if you guys remember when this happened.
I have spoken.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah. He almost said that. There was a time in the backyard that he said something that was similar to the point that I was like, almost.
I just almost. Absolutely love that casting in Mandalorian. It was perfect.
Yeah,
perfect. Yeah, so good.
I couldn't ask for better. All right, who's making the buzzing sound?
That's my mic.
Oh.
That's my mic.
Well done, sir.
I forgot my own joke. It almost made it better that I forgot.
That was real good.
That I did that. All right. Already look guilty.
We already look guilty. What the f's the difference?
Yeah, he could just read me a book. That'd be great. Wow. And swear the whole time. Mother effing Jack fell down the hill. Jill.
I love the fact that they had Nick Nolte out that old truck still be so proud that it can light the tires, and just that was just so authentic to me. Every person that I've known at that age group kind of went through that Vietnam era. Just it was important.
They kind of nailed that. I agree. I have an uncle like that, and it's just,
and he's Rambo. Like, he's literally Rambo. He's living in a fortified house that's surrounded by explosives. Like, at just
This is literally the way they end the most recent Rambo. I mean, he is a tunnel rat.
I've not seen that yet. Is that worth it? Worth my time or no?
Oh my gosh, yes, it is. It is.
It got panned all so at the hard, same dude. Time.
Oh, it is. It is absolute trash.
Ibbot,
but it also is good.
Can we watch the last Rambo for FilmSack?
I mean,
why are you asking me?
because Scott hasn't seen it, and so
I haven't seen it either.
Let's do it.
Dunaway and I have, and that leaves.
I think
you,
it's sackable. That leaves
you as the sort of.
I'm into it.
I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah. Which is the 29?
Don't watch it until we.
Oh, believe me, that won't be a problem.
I think I can abstain from that one.
Okay. All right. I'll hold off. I purchased
the Rambo combo pack on Vudu. That's the reason why I had, because I was going to get the first couple of ones anyway. And so I said, I might as well buy this.
Is it bloody? Because I want bloody.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. It is the most beautiful body gore things you've ever seen. It is just, I mean, it is, if there's an art to blowing up the body, it is this film.
I would actually call it exceptionally bloody. I think Sylvester Stallone's mind as a director, the human body contains 500 gallons of blood.
Yeah. Is it more bloody than 4? Because 4 was pretty bloody. Yeah,
yes, absolutely. It absolutely is.
Because the previous Rambo, the John Rambo movie, has a lot of like people getting exploded, and you don't really get to see up close what happens to their bodies.
Yeah.
Right.
This one's all close combat.
There's this weird filming technique that they used. I don't know if it's weird or not, but it's something I haven't really seen. And the way the bodies are blown up or shot, it is just a total new expression. of that to me.
All right. I mean, we sound like psychos talking about how much we like this, but
absolutely.
I like when a movie can be an art in a movie, and I like when it's done well, and I don't want them tiptoeing around. I want Rambo to just beat the crap out of everything. So
we'll see what you think later this year on Film Sack.
Okay. It'll be our hot winter movie Film Sack.
Hot. Wait, hot, bloody winter.
Winter, hot action or movies.
Bloody winter, hot action. I don't know. Something like that. But I know this for sure.
I can't feed a bee.
Yeah. That's the end of that. Now this. I now present you with the Film Sack checklist. Everybody's getting a little too old for this shit. Check.
Mm-hmm.
Forever Young was a song about Tim Blake Nelson. Check. of course, the bad guy is Danny Houston. Check. All right. Moving on. Star Trek connection. Daryl said there were none, but Randy found some. John McDonald is a stuntman, performed for both Angel Has Fallen and Star Trek Discovery. Mark DeSimon, or however you say that, did sound mixing for Angel Has Fallen and Voyager. And Oleg Burgoski worked on sound mixing for both this and Lower Decks.
And the stunt man thing is what really caught my attention there, because like this movie has just flat out stunts. It is stunts from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Like it almost never lets up. And there's a point where you're like kind of tired of it. Like people being exploded and they're running and they're still getting killed by explosions, that kind of thing. Mm. Like it's almost too much. But I really enjoyed the stunts in this movie.
Stunts were like, great.
This ought to be an Academy Award category.
Probably its best feature, actually. If I'm going to pick stunts, anything, is the stunt work and the practical explosion stuff and all that, I think was really well done. There was a scene where the hospital had collapsed and they're running away from a giant cloud, and it was some bad CG.
Yeah, it was video game remake.
Yeah, real bad, but the rest of it, I think, looked just really just gritty and on the ground and real. And that worked for me in a big way. That probably helped push the movie ahead of one for me as far as which one I enjoyed the most. Also, I'm a little surprised as a stuntman. The director himself has never been in Star Trek. Let me just do a quick check on that. Yeah, there's no Trek in his history, which bums me out because he's in like everything from Leonard Part 6 to The Blob to Hook to Doll Man to Hard Target. I mean, he's in everything. Sudden Death, stuff we've seen. That dude did a lot of stunts. And he stopped in 2001. That was it. No more.
And this director, Rick Roman Waugh, also directed the rock movie Snitch, which we have not seen on Film Sack, but is on the list to see.
Hold on, Snitch. Oh, yeah. The Dwayne Johnson, Susan Sarandon thing. John Barenthal and his earlobes. All those guys.
get their own trailer.
They do. That's what I've heard. All right. There's that. Now we go to this, which is the soundtrack grade. I'm going to give it a PS for perfectly suited for what it was. It was fine. It never bothered me.
PS1.
Yeah. PS1. PlayStation 1.
Well, this would be PS3 because it's the third movie.
Oh, I see.
No, but it was the presidential, classification.
Oh, gotcha. PS1. I get you now. Okay.
Well, what if it was PS2, which could be the PlayStation 2 or a connectivity standard for mice and keyboards back in the day. Remember the PS2 connections?
Uh-huh.
So this connects the other two movies. Oh, this is dumb. This is real dumb what we're doing.
This is
all right.
Shut up and get in your tunnel, you tunnel rat.
That's right. Let's do the Twitter post. This is where you guys in 300 or characters or less. We're doing 300 today. You know why?
Oh, 300.
Yeah, 300.
That's madness.
It is madness. This is Sparta. Let's start with Randy.
Angel Has Fallen, a story about what happens when one man thinks another man is his best friend, but he's really his enemy, and a woman who doesn't know that goes after him with big Jada Pinkett energy, only to choose the wrong man, and then the two men end up wrestling together breathlessly, just like a Saturday Night episode.
That might be the best one of those.
I'm counting characters.
Yeah,
that was
good. Given 300.
Yeah,
that was beautiful. That is
right under it.
Yeah, we gave you an extra 20 characters. You'd use them well.
Yeah, I'll yield a few of my characters to Randy's.
Oh, okay. I'd like to yield the rest of my characters. Oh, that'd be funny if we had to do that on Twitter all the time. Just yield our characters to other people. Like it was a finite number of characters that were available to everyone. I love that. Like giving back to the power company because you got solar energy on your house. Anyway, all right. Brian Dunaway, your turn.
Oh, Angel has fallen. Time to get into sweatpants one and take a look at this encrypted folder on the dark web. I'm in a coma.
Sweatpants one is funny. That's just a funny idea. And finally, Brian Ibbett.
Angel has fallen. The United States government falls for the oldest murder mystery trick in the book. The butler did it.
Nah. Ah, that's good. Gosh dang it, that's too good. I wish I'd have thought of that. It's very good. All right, alternate title time. This movie was almost called, if you can believe it, Deep Impact 2, You Thought the Meteor Was Bad. Or Game of Drones. Oh, there were so many drones. All right, emails. I have three of them because we're a little backlogged and I want to make sure to get a few of these out. They're short though, so enjoy these. These all came to us at filmsack@gmail.com. First one's from Adam Jaco, who wrote in and said, "Hey, film sackers." Oh no, I'm sorry. "Hey, sack attackers" was his start. That's pretty cool.
I like that even better.
Yeah, it's really good. Just wanted to let you know at the end of episode 145 on Predators. This was a while ago. After the outro. For some reason, there's an 8 to 10 minute clip bolted on there from a previous episode about the film Equilibrium. Kind of random. Keep up the good work. Adam.
Oh, weird.
I have no idea. And here's the weird thing. I went to listen to it. It's not on the file.
Oh, really? So maybe he got something?
I don't know.
Mystery has
What
fallen.
Would happen on like an RSS feed where that would happen? That makes no sense to me.
I can't think of any. Yeah, I can't think of any reason.
That's really funky. So I'm on the case, Adam. I'm going to figure this out. I want to know why that would happen because that's really, really odd. Plus, I think Equilibrium came like way later or maybe it couldn't have been before. I don't know. I have to go look at the order. Also, this one from Tyler who wrote in says, Dear Film Sacks. Oh, I don't know if I like that one as much.
Dill
Film Sacks. I'm going back through the archive to listen to some old episodes that I missed. And the question, what's the worst Santa, was uttered by Randy on FilmSack episode 447. Some examples are brought up, but the ultimate worst/saddest Santa has to be George Wendt in the trashiest directed TV Disney movie ever made, Santa Buddies. I don't expect anyone on the show who's watched this.
Yeah, Santa Buddies.
It says, don't expect
you're familiar with this? You probably have the...
Santa Buddies. Yeah,
the Blu-ray collector's edition. he says, I don't think any of you have watched this trash fire of a movie. Too bad Brian Dunaway has. But I have had to several times due to my 4 and 2-year-olds have to watch it because they are enthralled by it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is something they usually play at school lots of times during the holiday seasons. I know that Zoe has told me several times she's seen it, and we have watched it here as well. It's about puppies.
His description here at the end is amazing. The movie has George Wendt in the most phoning it in, sad sack Kris Kringle in existence. And it is painful to see George Wendt die inside with every word he has to utter. I can't recommend it for sacking, as I worry for the safety of the muscles of your eyes from tearing due to excessive eye rolling. But I thought you might like to know it's the worst, saddest Santa combo ever to answer your question. All the best and sack forever, Tyler. That's right. A great email. Wow. And it sounds like one we want to avoid.
And he said it was George Wendt, was that?
George Wendt, Norm. Yeah.
Right.
Norm.
Yeah.
Is it not George Wendt that you remember?
No, I think it is. There's a lot of classic actors in there, and I was just trying to remember.
Do they also consider
Tom Bosley was in there and Tim Conway. I think I was getting some of those confused.
Sounds terrible. It sounds really bad.
Have you ever watched The Buddies? I think it started with Air Buddies.
I've seen Air Bud.
The dog basketball player.
No, that's Air Bud. Air Bud.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
There's no Air Buddies.
There's Air Buddies. Yeah.
What?
Hold on. I didn't want to think it was the same franchise as the Air Buddies.
Air Bud is 97, and it's a dog who gets a hold of like Jordan's shoes or something.
Which is the original, right?
Yeah. And Air Buddies is a bunch of puppies that all do the same thing.
But it's all based in the same universe.
Okay. And then, but how is this Christmas thing connected to that?
This is Santa Buddies. This is like a little further along.
This is later in your career.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So do the dogs play basketball?
They're just a group of buddies. Oh, they're just puppies.
Stop and enjoy the exasperation sound. That was amazing.
This is 11 years ago. So this is newer than I would have expected. I thought this was some ancient thing, but it's relatively new. And like you said, Tom Bosley, there's him. Tim Conway, Chris Coppola.
So
Air Bud series has 12. Yeah. movies, believe it or not. Really? I've just looked them all Christ. Up.
It's like disgusted more in the world right now. Jesus Christ.
If it's like Christ. This explains movies, everything that's wrong. Movies.
In order, I'm not going to do them all, but they start out as Air Bud and then Air Bud Golden Receivers and then Air Bud World Pup and then Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch.
Oh, Air Bud, gosh. No, fetch, no.
Oh, God. Oh. He plays volleyball in Air Bud Spikes Back.
No, no.
Like it just goes on.
That's horrible.
Volleyball. They really ran out of sports for the fifth movie and said, I don't know. Volleyball?
They have Air Buddies, which is the sixth movie and doesn't appear to be an obviously about a sports thing. But then they get back to it with Snow Buddies, which is about winter sports. And then they just said that we've done enough. We go to space with Space Buddies.
Shut up. Shut up.
Yeah, they do. They get out of the whole sports. That's when I kind of still came started seeing a few of them.
Wait a minute. They go to space? Why? Why are dogs in space? Oh, my God.
How is she supposed to run into Jason Voorhees?
The 12th movie in the series is Treasure Buddies. The buddies find themselves on an Indiana Jones-style adventure.
Oh, I haven't heard of this one.
Oh, my.
Sorry to say that's the 11th. The 12th is Super Buddies.
After acquiring rings that grant them superpowers, the buddies must use them to stop a villain.
This is bad.
Well, that all ended in 2013, and I would like to believe it ended because someone took a hit out on some executive producer.
Yeah.
Enough.
Because to make them stop making these movies.
Air Bud, at least... I don't know. Air Bud, as dumb as it is, and it was at least kind of a feel good little thing. And it's like Land Before Time. Leave it alone, you guys. Do your one thing.
But you got to understand, there's a market for it. And if you make the film for cheap enough, I mean, there was a time every time I went to my kids, took them to the Red Box, there needed to be at least one film that was like this Santa Buddies. And so it would be always the thing that we would end up getting.
Surprisingly, always available.
Yeah.
Always available. I'm just saying there's a very niche market for it. And it is there.
It had Michael Jeter in it. Michael Jeter. He's great. He's a great actor. Michael Jeter. You guys familiar with his work in Open Range, Green Mile, Designing Women, I think. bunch of stuff. He's great.
Wasn't he in Fisher King, too?
He was in Fisher King.
Oh, he wasn't that.
Yes.
Yeah, Michael Jeter's a great actor. He's
really
great.
Is, yeah.
And I know some of us still here have still not seen Open Range. It is one of the most underrated, amazing Westerns ever made. And he's the guy in charge of the horse stable. So watch that.
Horse stable.
He does some cool shit in the end. At first, he's kind of a weasel, but he's pretty great in the end. All right, anyway. There's that. Where the hell were we? Oh, one final email. This is Robert who says, hey, guys, just want to suggest a movie. On Amazon Prime Video is an Indiana-type movie starring, wait for it, Chuck Norris and Lou Gossett Jr. The movie is called Firewalker from 1986. I think you should sack it, says Robert. Yeah. Never heard of it.
Didn't somebody send us Firewalker? I'm thinking of Firefox.
Yeah, Firefox we
did. Firefox, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, Firefox is the only movie we've ever sacked that had the word fire in it. Let's change that eventually and see.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember this. I remember this cover art.
Let's see if we have anything with Fox in it. Nope. Fire I've never and Fox. Seen it. The only use of the word fire and the word Fox have happened in Firefox. So we don't have Catch Me Like a Fox or Chase Me Like a Fox or whatever. We don't have...
We've got Fire Down Below we've never sacked. No,
or Fire in the Sky.
Chariots. Oh, Fire in the Sky is a great one for us to sack too.
So in Firewalker,
Peter Berg.
Right. In Firewalker, does Lou Gossett and Chuck Norris like get stranded on like a desert planet and they have to
That sounds so shitty.
I think it's Native American or indigenous peoples related.
Oh, okay. It is?
It's got John Rhys Davies.
I like John Rhys Davies. Wait. John Rhys Davies. Oh, Sala. I am the king of the bad dates. That guy. You have my axe. That guy. He's great.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for your emails, everybody. All three of those are great, and we love them. And you should keep sending us emails, filmsack@gmail.com. Our next film will be Running Scared.
Woohoo!
This is on Prime. That's an important note. You'll see it on Prime. That's what we're going to watch. This one is on Amazon Prime Video, and it's a movie that... I can say at least from at least three of our perspectives, a big deal when we were in high school.
Yes.
I don't know why exactly it was. It just was. And I think part of it was, hey, an SNL guy who's now making a movie and it's edgy, but funny. Mm-hmm. It's the way that people might see.
Was this? Where was this in relation to like Lethal Weapon? Because it's a buddy cop movie.
Right. It would have been before Lethal Weapon, I think.
Don't forget, this is Gregory Hines and Billy Crystal. If you didn't know, don't watch the more recent. There's been two more recent films titled Running Scared.
Yes.
2006 and 2013 or something like that. So yeah, definitely going to the 86.
Less than a year before Lethal Weapon. So we were just starting to get into the buddy cop film.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the way that we knew it, like kind of violent, kind of intense, but then funny. And so it reminds me of, I mean, that's kind of how these, I feel like this movie templated that stuff in a weird way. So we'll see if we remember it right or not. And we're going to watch it. And it's been on our list forever. So finally happening this
I'm
coming
really
week.
Excited because I didn't know this movie existed. It's got Joe Pantoliano in it. I can't wait.
Joey Pants, baby.
Oh, might be one of, if not the first Joey Pants films. Maybe not.
Well, maybe the first we saw.
Certainly the first one I ever saw.
Yeah, I think so too for me.
Got a hairstyle like a rooster in it.
He does. And he's eating the steak and he doesn't care if it's not real. Anyway, that's coming up on Running Scared. That's next week right here on FilmSack. FilmSack.com is our website. And you can find everything there you need. You want to follow us all on Twitter, you can do that. The show's at FilmSack. You can email us, FilmSack@gmail.com. Leave us reviews wherever you get your shows, be it Spotify, iTunes, or wherever. We don't care. Leave us a review. It helps the show in lots of ways and helps us get discoverable by other people. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
We're Lions.
See you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
How the f*** did you find me?